Well, good morning again, beloved ones. Turn to someone and tell them, I see your light. Ooh, and it's bright. I see your light and it's bright. Yes. I see your light and it is bright. See, you don't see what I see when I stand up here. I just see a place ablaze with the light of God. I see a place ablaze with the love and the spirit and the energy of God. I can feel when spirit is moving. And spirit's moving this morning in a wondrous way. Wondrous way. So I'm grateful and I'm thankful to be here in your midst and in the midst of God. Because we're taking time, you know. We're taking time to be holy. We're taking time to be holy. Because, you know, it seems that the hours and the days and the years are just flying by, right? Speeding up. Now, I don't know if that's because we all are getting older and life is getting precious and time is getting precious, or if it really is that it seems that the energy is just moving faster and almost as if time is just, right, speeding up. And that there just doesn't seem to be enough time in a day. I was speaking with someone yesterday who recently retired, and he was commenting on how that now that he's retired, that his days seem even more crowded with things to do, filled with things to do. You know, we have to face it. We are living in a fast-paced time and period, a fast-paced world. Where even having good, maybe even excellent multitasking skills and abilities is not good enough, right? I'm multitasking doing this, but that doesn't seem to be good enough. And I'm not even sure if we were all meant to live this way. If we were meant to experience what we are experiencing, with the amount of stress that is upon everyone. I'm not sure that this was part of the divine design that we should be in this state of consciousness and activity, where it's activity, 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 moving, moving, moving. In fact, I believe that it's probably causing us to be even a little bit more disconnected, right? A little bit more scattered and maybe being overwhelmed by it all. Life is not meant to be overwhelming. Life is meant to be good, right? Because that is of God. It's created of God. It's not meant to somehow that it's rushing by. There goes my life and, oh, I must try to live it. You know, right? Because it's moving so fast. Sometimes I'm thinking when I get back from even our vacations, right, don't leave us feeling rested. Have you come back from a vacation and saying, I need a vacation from my vacation? Right? Well, we're just not feeling that deep sense of rest and the ability to be. It's rare, friends, that we sit and contemplate. When was the last time you just sat and contemplated? Right? I'm not talking about thinking about things that you have to do. I'm not talking about thinking about your tasks. I'm talking about just sitting and contemplating. We probably even don't know what to do to have that happen. Or just allowing ourselves to be, right, with nothing to do. In fact, I bet it's safe to say that most people, maybe not us here because, you know, I'm not talking about us, but those other folks, but I would chance it to say that very few people are even comfortable just being. Being with themselves, being with life, being with God, right? Without an agenda. Because sometimes we will be with God, but we have an agenda. It's our prayer time. We're asking for things. We're praying for things. And there is a time and a place for that. But I'm talking about just being with no agenda. See, that's a powerful, healing, and refreshing experience. Do you remember when Sundays, now I might be dating myself, but I don't care. Do you remember when Sundays used to be set aside for church, family dinner, right? And it was a good family dinner. It was special, right? So you had church, you had family dinner, and maybe a drive to nowhere. You would just get in and take a drive, right? A Sunday drive. Or maybe you might go and do a little visiting. Nobody visits anymore. But remember those days, right? Sunday was a special time of the week. It was a special day because it was a Sabbath. It was the Sabbath. It was a time for rest. It was a time for renewal. It was a time to remember God. To remember God, to remember the good, to remember the blessings. No matter how your week went, this day was set aside to give praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving and remembrance to God. It was a wonderful time. Listen to Genesis. I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 through 3. And I'll read the New Living Translation. And it says here, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. But by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." Then it says, this is another version of it. "Thus the heavens and the earth and the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work on which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created." So we have this wonderful time of rest. Of renewal and restoration. Because even it says, God, the creator of all things, did what? Rested. Now, and on the seventh day, so seven metaphysically is a very spiritual number. It means a time of completion. So it's a signal for us that when we have completed something, that we are to give rest. Because it says after each day of creation, he looked and said, "Ooh, this is good. Ooh, this is good." So after all this hard work and the goodness of God, he said, "Oh, let me just rest in it." It's a holy time, the seventh day. Now, we know that spiritually and metaphysically, every day is a holy day, right? Every day is a holy day. Every encounter that we have is a holy encounter, because it's teaching you something. It's bringing you a lesson and a blessing, if you can see it. But every day is a holy day. So what this says is metaphysically is, this seventh day, this is a time to rest and renew ourselves. And I'm thinking, what if we were to go back to the tradition of setting aside one day out of the week and dedicate it to a day of rest? Rest from all concerns. Wouldn't you like to be able to take a rest from all your concerns, right? A day of rest. Rest from all the pressing tasks that are yours to do. That on that day, you're not going to have any tasks to do. You wouldn't do, I don't care how pressing it is. A day to rest from all decisions. I would love to be able to get up and say, "Today there will be no decisions on anything," right? A day to rest from all things, to rest from everything that fills our mind with endless chatter, with thoughts, with issues, with circumstances and things to be done. That we would just rest. Take a Sabbath. Because there's power in the Sabbath, or in a Sabbath. So listen now to Jesus' teaching on the Sabbath. And I'm reading Mark 2, chapter 2, verse 23. "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?' He answered, 'Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which was lawful only for priests to eat,
And he also gave some to his companions. And then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Now, let me read from the New Living Translation, just the 27th verse. And it says, "And then Jesus said to them, 'The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath.'" And then this verse from the Message, which I love, and it says this. I might read the whole thing because the Message makes it so much fun. "One day, one Sabbath day, he was walking through a field of ripe grain, and his disciples made a path. They pulled off the heads of grain. The Pharisees told on them, 'Look, Jesus, look, your disciples are breaking the Sabbath rules.' And Jesus said, 'Really? Haven't you ever read what David did when he was hungry, along with those who were with him? How he entered the sanctuary and ate the fresh bread off the altar with the chief priest Abiathar right there watching. Holy bread that no one but priests were allowed to eat. And he handed it out to his companions. And then Jesus said, 'The Sabbath was made to serve us, and we weren't made to serve the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is no lackey to the Sabbath. He's in charge.'" I thought, all right. He's in charge. Jesus is very clear on this whole process, right? He is telling us very clearly and unequivocally that the Sabbath is made for who? For us. It is made for us. And it's not some artificial day to remember to be holy, right? Because sometimes people say, "Oh, it's something I got to remember to be holy." It's not about that. Or he's saying it's not a time to get caught up in following the rules. "Well, it's Sunday, so I think I have to go to church." It's not the rules about being holy. He was talking to the Pharisees who had a rule for everything. You had to jump up, turn around, put your toe in, put your toe out, do all these things in order to be considered holy, right? And there were so many rules and so many laws for them to follow that they couldn't hardly keep up. Jesus is saying, you've made it that people have to do this requirement. No. The Sabbath is made for man. It's a wonderful thing. It's a gift from God for us. So it's not about pretending to be holy. It's not about doing all these rituals that you think are going to make you holy, but actually taking the time to be whole, taking the time to be well, to rest, right? To renew your spirit, to be renewed in your mind, to recreate yourself. Recreation is simply to recreate, and not necessarily to recreate by doing necessarily fun things, which is a great thing to do sometimes. There's a time and a place for that. But to recreate yourself, which is to remember who you are, to bring yourself back around to your creative source, back around to who you have been created to be, and touch that spirit within. And I would say that when you are recreating yourself, when you are taking the time to be holy, it's not taking the time to add more things to do on your day off, right? It's not about that. But to find some time to go within and to touch the spirit. If everyone in the entire world would take one day just to be in the presence and the awareness and the consciousness of God, the world would shift and change in an instant. If everyone did, not ritual, not culture, because we all have different cultures, different religions, but if every soul on the planet just took some time a day to be aware of the divine, to be aware of God's presence. That's it. Not, "Oh, my God and your God and my God is showing up like this." Just be aware of the presence. And if every soul on the planet would do, we would bring heaven upon the earth just like that. Just like that. So there's power, you see, in the stillness. God creates in the stillness. Not out of chaos. God creates in the stillness. There's deep power in learning to be still. What did the scripture say in Psalms 46? Be what? Still. And know that I am God. God works in the stillness. This is what Charles Fillmore, who's a co-founder of Unity, one of them, says in the Revealing Word about the Sabbath. He says, the true Sabbath is that state of spiritual attainment where man ceases from all personal effort and all belief in his own works. Some of us believe in our own works. Mm-hmm. And he says, and they rest in the consciousness that the Father abiding in me does the work. Okay? So he's quoting John 14:10. When we understand the true spirit of the Sabbath, we will cease following prescribed rules laid down by a church and open our mind to God's rest and peace. We like to say here, church is not, right? Where you pray, it's you who pray. Church resides where? In you. All right. So then he says here, we rest from outer work. We cease daily occupation and give ourselves up to meditation or the study of spiritual things. The Sabbath is kept anytime we enter into spiritual consciousness. When you enter into spiritual thought and consciousness, you are taking a divine Sabbath. He says, and we rest from thoughts of temporal things. So worrying is not a Sabbath. It's a rest from the temporal things. Everything that you think you have to think about and worry about is going to be there. You don't have to worry about that when you're experiencing the Sabbath. We let go of the external observance of days because every day is a Sabbath on which we retire into spirit and worship God. So this is a powerful experience for us because what this is saying is it doesn't have to be on a Sunday. It can be any day as long as we are using that day to rest in the Spirit. We are using that day, that time, that moment to rest in the peace of God, to rest in peace. Rest in peace. Now, usually when we hear those words, we're usually saying it either to someone or about someone who is what? Who's died, right? So it's kind of like, well, I don't really want to rest in peace. But I'm thinking, why should we have to wait until we die to find abiding eternal peace, right? You don't have to wait. This is an living is an everyday now experience. God is here now. Peace is here now. Your good is here now. You don't have to wait until you die to get your crown and to get the glory. You can glorify God right here, right now. You can be blessed right now. You can have peace right here and right now. So I'm thinking, what if we were to make it a habit, a part of our daily lives to find some time to rest in the consciousness of peace? What if we were to find some time every day to rest in the stillness of God, or to rest in serenity, or to rest simply in the presence of God? Isaiah 40:31 says this, but they that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Woo! They shall run but not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. So this is a promise to us. Taking the time for a Sabbath, doesn't have to be the Sabbath on Sunday, oh, it's a good time, but taking time for a Sabbath not only will give us rest, but more importantly, it gives us the strength we knew that we needed. It renews our strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So it gives us renewed strength. It enables us to mount up with wings as eagle, meaning that we can mount up, we can rise up, rise above, live above our circumstances, our challenges, our limitations, all of that. You know, wouldn't you want to do that? Don't you want to rise above and live above your limitations? I know I do. Turn to somebody and tell them, I want to live above my circumstances. I want to live above my circumstances, right? Tell somebody, I want to live above my challenges. I want to live above my challenges. I want to live above my limitations, right? So here's the good news. When we live above these things, whether your challenges, your circumstances, or your issues, when you begin to live above them, it doesn't mean that you don't have to handle them. You have to handle your business.
Okay? It doesn't mean that you don't have to handle them. It simply means that you're going to come at them from a different level. From a what? A higher level, a higher consciousness, a higher perspective. See, an eagle, you fly with eagles when you up high. You see a whole broad perspective of life at this point. And the eagle not only can take in the whole kit and caboodle, but the eagle can focus in on one little thing. So you're flying with eagles when you're above the fray. You're above the fears and the doubts and all the naysayers. You're above all that and you're seeing what God sees. When you are at a higher level, it means that you're going to see things differently. And when you begin to see things differently, you're going to perceive things differently. And when you perceive things differently, you're going to respond differently. And when you respond differently, you're going to act differently. You're going to act with conscious choice, right? You're going to act from a different perspective. So what happens, you see, is we don't get caught up in the minutiae. You don't get caught up in the weeds. We live from a different consciousness, a higher vibration, a higher level, a higher way of being and seeing. And what happens is when you allow yourself to wait upon God and to take a Sabbath and to renew your strength and to clear up your mind, all of a sudden as your mind gets clearer, answers, direction, guidance all begin to come and it rises up naturally within you, without all of your effort. See, that's what happens. When you get, it rises up, the answer you need rises up. See, we up here seeking. Who has it? Who has it? Who has it? Where is it? But when you are in that flow, when you have taken the Sabbath, all that you need begins to rise up naturally and easily into your consciousness. You're going to see clearer, think clearer, hear, you know, hear differently. You can hear that wisdom, the still small voice. You begin to understand. You're not thinking it through, but divine ideas move into your consciousness. God ideas come. Remember, Mr. Fillmore said this. He said that the true Sabbath is a state of spiritual attainment where man ceases from all personal effort and all belief in his own work and rests in the consciousness that the Father abiding in me doeth His work. It's powerful. When we can allow ourselves to take time to be holy, we are allowing for God to work in us, for God's purpose to be brought about, for that divine plan that God has for us to begin to unfold and to come forth. You see, what happens when we wait in this consciousness, we begin to be empowered from on high. We think so oftentimes we get our power from out here. You're empowered from on high, strengthened and fortified in your spirit. I'd rather, you know, if I have a strengthened and fortified spirit, I don't care what's happening out here. I am strengthened, right, from on high, empowered from on high. And what happens is this all comes to you after you've rested in the spirit. It's almost as if we are being uploaded by God. Not downloaded, we're being uploaded by God. When we're still and when we're quiet, when we're simply open and receptive, when we're being in peace, peace, be still and know that I am God. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. Those scriptures remind us, right, the importance of and the power of keeping a Sabbath. It is a reminder that it's necessary for our soul's growth and unfoldment. Don't think you're going to grow spiritually if you don't understand the right perceptions and power of spirit and how things work. See, you can't grow if you're not taking the time to be consciously holy, taking the time to consciously rest. See, coming to church won't make you holy. All right? It's a good thing to do, and I'm glad that you're here. We come to church to be in fellowship with each other. We come to church to support one another. We come to be reminded of the truth. We come to learn lessons. We come to understand teachings and all of that stuff, right? We come to just to find out our worth-ship as we worship. But coming to church doesn't make you holy. See? Finding holiness can only come from within. It comes from within. So we then need to keep a Sabbath.
It is time for us to remember, if we want to live happy, healthy, whole, balanced lives, then you have to remember to keep a Sabbath, and that the Sabbath was made for you. It's a gift from God for you. You have to use it to unburden yourself. Use it to make yourself whole again. Because sometimes when you go out into the world is rough. And we may get a little unbalanced, right? Things come at us, whatever. And we get thrown off course, off of our center. That coming into the Sabbath unburdens you. It releases you. It brings you back to center, back to yourself. Here's what Jesus said again. When coming into this understanding of this coming into the common union with God. And I'm reading from Matthew 11, verse 28. And this is what it says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And now I want to read it from the Message. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Then this is the place for you. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I love this reading. Isn't that powerful? Woo, come well. I'll show you how to do it. But what I love, clearly Jesus is saying this. He says, look, you got to learn to come apart before you come apart. Right? You got to learn to come apart before you come apart. Sometimes that has to happen. We have to learn, friends, that all of a sudden, that grace, he says, I want you to learn, this is the phrase I love, the unforced rhythms of grace. That's what the Message says. He's saying that grace is always being poured out. Grace is being poured out for us and upon us. Even now, the grace of God is pouring out for each of us. But sometimes we are so busy, we are too busy to even receive it. Right? We want it, but wait a minute, I don't have time for it. I got to do this. And grace is sufficient. All you need is God's grace. It's sufficient unto the day. You don't even have to worry the scriptures about tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to take care of itself. My grace is sufficient unto the day. Right here, right now, everything you need is provided. Open up. Be receptive. There's a divine flow of life, and it's always moving. And our task is to be in that flow, to be in that flow. And in order to be in it, we've got to take some time, take those moments to feel the natural rhythm. Unforced rhythm of grace and life. And the rhythm of life is to work and to rest. We all know how to do the work part. It's the resting that we have to learn, to work and to rest. This time of rest, this Sabbath is holy, friends. It's holy because it is meant to keep you whole and well and connected to the source of all things good, the source of life. It's as if God is saying, take a seat. Take a seat. Turn to somebody and tell them, take a seat. Take a seat. Take a seat. He's saying, stop all this running to and fro. Right? Take a seat and sit a while. Find your experience of that unforced rhythm of grace. Meaning God is saying, look, I got this. I have this. Take a seat. Just rest for a minute. God is in charge, right? Of all things, and not only of the universe, but of you and your life and your affairs. God is in charge. You remember that wonderful popular message that showed up a few months, years ago? It was on posters and coffee mugs. And it said this, good morning,
This is God. I will be handling all of your problems today. I will not need your help. So, have a good day. I love you. Right? That's a beautiful message. Rest from all of the problems and the situations and circumstances, and let God lift you and guide you and heal you and bless you. It's your time to take time to be holy and to remember the Sabbath, because it was made just for you. So take a seat. Blessings and namaste.
Blessings. Blessings and namaste.